How do you validate a business idea, making sure it is actually a good idea and that you've defined the right niche? We'll discuss that today with Anthony Witt from The Champion Entrepreneur on Company of One, episode 104.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan. Dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
And yes, today we are going to be driving down, getting into the focusing on developing a business idea that makes sense, which to me that means that makes profit. We're again discussing, this is our third episode with Anthony Witt from The Champion Entrepreneur. He and I are partnering together to do a coaching program. We're going to open up on September 15th. For details on that, go to EntrepreneurDreamAcademy.com. You can find a link there in the show notes at DaleCallahan.com/104. So that, yeah, this is episode 104, and I'm just going to jump right in with Anthony Witt and just give you the background a little bit. Again, this is our third of probably four, maybe a little bit more episodes that we're going to do that we're just doing together. Again, I'm a guest on his show. We've covered on the episode 102, where I've basically borrowed or stole his content. And we covered your why, developing your business why. In episode 103, we talked about how do you find that why? How do you understand what it is that really drives you? I mean, you know what? That sounds like such a silly thing to talk about. Almost stupid. But that's where I spend a lot of time is helping people define that why, which helps them define their business. So many people want to start a business, but they don't have any idea of what kind of business to start or what they want to do. So today we're going to move into the focusing a little bit more on once you get some business ideas, once you get some products and ideas to sell, how do you validate it? How do you validate them? How do you determine whether they're profitable, whether it's a reasonable market, whether it's a niche that makes sense for you? And we're just really having a conversation here talking about things that we have seen. So without further ado, I'm going to let us join in and listen in with me and Anthony Witt.
Hello, hello. What is going on? We are back for another edition with our awesome friend and colleague, Dale Callahan. Dale, welcome back, man.
Hey, man, it is great to be back. Great to talk to you again this week.
Well, I'm excited because the last couple weeks we've been working through this concept of how we figure out what our why is and how we start a new business and how we take that business and make it successful, right? I'm going to go with the words, I don't think we've said this yet, but success to significance, right? Something that's going to actually work. And we've developed our platform, which is, of course, the Entrepreneur Dream Academy. We've been talking a lot lately so far about the why, right?
That's right. All about the why.
So we've talked about how important it is to have a why. And last week, we talked, if you remember, Champion, we talked a lot about brainstorming or how do you figure out what your why is, using your assessment tools to figure out, you know, what are some of your strengths, what are some of your weaknesses. We talked a little bit about the pluses and the minuses to those things. We talked about finding someone who's in that niche or in that industry and hanging out with them, getting in contact with them, interviewing them, checking out what they're doing, right? So this week, we want to take that to the next level. So we've understand that why is important. We've developed that why. Now we want to talk about how do you find out if you have a good business idea? And that's a tough deal, isn't it, Dale?
Yeah, it's just a place where people seem to make a lot of, well, let's just call it what it is, stupid decisions. They're only stupid looking back when they realize it, but they haven't thought through things enough. I think that's probably the fair way to say it, right?
Yeah, you know, and I would say in this process of discovering what you're doing, it's taking your why and then developing your what, but not having them connected. Would you think or say that that is a common thing you see?
Yeah. You know, we can, it's easy to fall in love with the why. And hopefully we do. Obviously, that's what we've been talking about. You want to fall in love with your why, but then, as we hit on before, there's so many ways to peel that onion, if you will. There's so many layers to it, and sometimes we just grab the first one, and it's things. And it's, as we were talking about earlier, you know, you fall in love with your idea. You've got your why, but you only just chase the one little idea. And yeah, it's easy to do. I've done it probably several times myself, and that was probably just last week, you know. But I think we all do it. We all tend to do it, and that's why we're thinking through this now.
Yeah, and that actually goes to the concept of passion not being enough, right?
Yeah.
Talk to us for a second. You know, we've already talked about the three circle principles, but let's recap that. Can you recap that for us? What are we talking about when we're talking about, you know, passion, skills, market set, all that?
Yeah, you're talking about the passion, you know, which we've been driving at before. And again, I said, you know, we oftentimes get attacked for saying follow your passion. Not me and you, but everybody, you know, because that's how everybody says it. What does it mean? And we obviously know those people who are carrying around a guitar in Nashville or somewhere, you know, and broke and living on the street, but they're following their passion, you know. But the problem is they haven't figured out the rest of it, because passion, if you look at a circle of passion and you draw the three intersecting circles, and you got passion in one, you got skills in another one, and you got to market in another one. Now, we talked before that we can always develop skills within reason. Probably we're not going to become, you know, NFL quarterbacks or something, but within reason we can develop skills, and we can find a way to hit the market, the other circle. So we got passion, skills, and market. And what we're looking for is the sweet spot where the three of them intersect. And passion is where we were focused on with the why. But now we got to get out to, you know, how do we connect to the market? That's really where the focus is. And I'll just tell you, here's some, and I love this, I forget who said this, you know, if you have passion and you have the skills for something, but you don't have a market, you have a hobby. You know, and we see a lot of that, people who love to do things and people who are very skilled at things, but they're not selling it and nobody's going to buy it. You know, maybe they're good at flower beds or something. They have a great hobby, but that doesn't generate any money. And so what you're looking at is not where two circles intersect. You're trying to find where all three of them can intersect.
Yeah, actually, that an example that comes to my mind is TiVo, right? The concept of TiVo. They had the best product out there. They had a great idea, but they didn't actually capitalize on their market. They didn't know how to. They didn't have the skills. I would argue that they didn't have the skill sets to market their piece of equipment, or they were unwilling to yield on some of their fundamentals to be able to develop those skill sets and put them into play. Right? You have to. You can be the best at something, but in today's world, you can get drowned. Just completely dropped out.
You got to find a way to market things, and it's a never ending issue. I was just doing a talk to our faculty at the university the other day, which, by the way, they did not appreciate in the slightest. So I made no friends, but you know, I was talking to them about the fact that you as a university were a profit center. They didn't like that. They think that's a dumb, stupid idea. But you have to be aware the market moves. And I mean, if you look at Kodak, you go to the store and buy something from Kodak right now. You know, back in the 90s, it was a $28 billion company. And now it's nothing, because they had passion, they had skills, they had a market, but the market moved. And so even once you get this going, you constantly have to be analyzing the market, which maybe we're ahead of ourselves here, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, we're definitely jumping to lecture 4 or 5 on this topic, but it's an important one to realize that, and I think you're right on there, that the market is moving, especially in today's day and age. I would argue that regardless of your product or service, when you are using really anything, online basis has totally changed the way that the market moves. So even if you're selling replacement windows and you're not using online metrics or online tools, which you should be, even if you're not, you're going to be affected by the way that the online type stuff moves and the way that that drives the whole market. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, and I don't want to pick on online. I mean, both of you and I kind of have affinity there, but yeah, I mean, it's certainly the marketplace now. I mean, if you look at the, if you look at one of the most profitable things where more money spent, think about Amazon, you know, and it's online and it's selling every product and probably windows. I bet you and I could go on there and buy windows for our home. You know, and so to ignore that, you may choose to not use it, but you have to have a logical reason for that. It's dangerous.
Even not using it. See, I was even going more farther than that. That the psychology of the buyer and the customer, regardless of who that is, they have, especially in today's, you know, millennial generation, which I'm at the top end of that generation, right? Just squeaking into that generation. But that generation is going to buy things offline with some of the tendencies which they developed with their online habits, which so integrated into what and who they are.
Absolutely.
So we are totally digressing, right? Let's get back to it, Dale. What makes a good business idea? How do we find one?
Well, what you clearly want, I mean, let's just assume we've found our passion. We know what it is we want. We found what we're skilled. We got great ideas. Now you kind of got to... You got to do the math, right? You got to go out and look at the numbers. For instance, you got to understand how big the market space is for what your product is. And as I was giving you the example the other day, and we may have already talked about this, but there's the case of a friend of mine was helping a guy who started a company selling to PBS stations. So here we got public broadcasting stations. He had developed software to do the public broadcasting stations. And that all sounds well, and that sounds great. He was excited about it, which we do. We fall in love with our ideas. But he hadn't done the math because let me just throw some numbers out. And if you're listening to this in the car or running or something, you can't do this. But if you've got pen and paper in hand, you can just write down there's 349 PBS stations in the United States. So that's his target market. That's the only people he can sell to. And that's a real critical number to understand. Now, that's not necessarily a bad number because if you're selling something at $1 million a whack, that's fine. But he was selling this price, this profit at $1,000 for the software, just a flat fee. So if you just do the math there, his maximum profit, not annual profit, but if he sells everybody this year, he makes $350,000. Now that sounds like a lot of money until you realize he's got competition. He's not going to sell everybody this year. He's probably going to have expenses. You know, so by the time he's done, he might make $10,000. Not very exciting from a business perspective. And he has no long-term view of it. And that's what you just have to look at some. And so we're not talking about magical. We're not talking, you don't need a PhD in finance or anything. Just, you know, understand who the customers are. And I think that's the critical fact. We all kind of know what we might charge for our products and services, or at least we may have some starting points. But many people don't have a clear view on who they're serving.
Yeah, the who they're serving part is extremely critical. So when we sit down and we say, what is a good business idea, or what is a good idea even, right? You're using your example from your friend, or your friend of a friend, right? That individual had a good idea, but when you put down to the numbers, when you do the market analysis, he didn't have a good business idea as it sat. Now, could he have done other things? Possibly. Maybe he could develop the system so it could work for other systems. I don't know. But that wasn't a good business idea because he allowed himself to, number one, get caught up and fall in love with the product.
Yeah.
Over how it affects and how it can change the lives of the customers. And part of that, kind of number two to that, is figuring out who that customer is. So if we want to figure out if we have a good business idea, because that's a question, right? That's a question we're trying to kind of answer today. One of the key and critical points we have to get to is who is the customer and where are they at?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So finding both of those two different things that you kind of hit, which is falling in love with the product and then finding the customer, is a hang up. It's a hang up for a lot of people. I've seen tons of people get hung up on selling to the masses, right? They want to sell to the masses. How do we get ourselves to the point where we're not selling to the masses, Dale?
Yeah, I love that. That's a perfect thing. One of the things when we're doing investing in companies, people always say, some investor is going to ask, who is your customer? Much like what you're asking. And generally speaking, people will say they're so excited about the product. They can see everyone using it. So that's what they'll say. Everyone is a customer. Now, any savvy investor that's ever invested anything knows that immediately tells you this person doesn't know what the heck they're talking about. Even Coca-Cola, who probably could justify that statement, we sell to everyone, they segment their market down to small pools. So they can reach and if you ever watch their advertisements, you can tell that's not an ad for me. You know, it's maybe for younger people, or it's for older people, or it's for men or women. They get very specific. So the way I like to do it, and especially with a startup, is I say, just imagine that you've got one of those spiral notebooks, or get one, and just think, I want to get every person's name, email, address, phone number that's a potential customer, and I want to write them down. Now, logically, physically, you're probably not going to be able to do that. Your hand should start to hurt. Unless you're selling products at $1 million a pop, your hand should start to hurt. But you want to think of it as if you're doing a search on Google, you're searching something, as if you can say, I'm going to find everyone in the country who fits this description. And a friend of mine, he writes advertisements, and one of his things was, he says pug on it. You know, the little dog that looks like they ran into something, pugs, which apparently people are avid pug users or pet owners. He said, I might write an advertisement for pug owners, and I could research who all is a pug owner. I could research who all is a Harley Davidson fanatic. I could research who's an Apple user, although that one may be harder to get my hands around. But you know, that's where you want to think, is I could conceive at least that I could get a list of names. And if you can't think through how could I get this list of names, there's your first problem.
Yeah, and that first problem is where we get stuck, right? Or at least where a lot of people get stuck. And so how do we get past that? I guess that's the question that we need to look towards, right?
Yeah.
You kind of glossed over it in a magnificent way, actually. I love the way that you use that, you know, pug concept. You know, you can really get down there, because there's also been recently the hot word in this is, who is your avatar, right?
Right.
Who is that one person? Or in radio, or in podcasting that we're doing here, is who is my one listener? It's called my one listener profile. And so finding out those things is going to be huge to help you out. One of the things I hear coming out here, and we talked about this before, Dale, is this principles and integration, I guess, of academic work, research, analysis into real world, you know, what we're doing. You know, we both have our misgivings towards the academia as it exists currently, right? I mean, you even as the professor that you are, you still have some of the misgivings to an extent. But right here, what I hear you saying and what we have talked about is there has to be some type of a melding there as far as sitting down and getting some viable research, right?
Yeah. And it may be a lot. It may be a little. For some it's easier. Let's just face it. It's just they already, if you're developing a product for Harley-Davidson users, let's say you're a Harley rider and you have some cool product for them. Well, you've kind of got it laid in your hands, right? You can find them. There's Facebook groups of Harley users. They're a very avid community. They're a very vibrant community. So it just lays right in there for you. If you're developing, like the example you're talking about, a drinking cup, a new kind of drinking cup, well, that's harder just because of the nature of the product you're developing. So some of it depends upon what you've chosen for your market. And I'll give you an example of your avatar, though. You might call this academic. I don't know. But I spent some time with a guy that does marketing. He's the head of the nationwide radio marketing group. And he drilled me on the customer avatar. And it was very interesting because he started asking me questions like, how old is your typical customer, male or female? And he was just drilling me. He was pegging me for data. Now, whether I've surveyed it or me just thinking through it. So is it male or female? How old is he? Not, oh, he's anywhere between 18 and 60. No, how old is he? How many children does he have? Is he married? What's his education? Where does he live? Does he have a pet? What kind of pet? What kind of car does he drive? Does he watch sports in the weekend? We went on for an hour drilling me down to defining who this person is that you're serving, which is what you're talking about, is the customer avatar. And it develops incredible clarity of who you're trying to get to.
Well, not only who you're trying to get to, I think you got to the right at the end. Who is your market, right?
That's what I mean. Who you're trying to market to?
Yes. Yeah, and you might say, well, that's obvious, but no, it's not obvious to a lot of people because otherwise we wouldn't have this problem. But once you have drilled down, and the beauty of we're trying again. I'm going to just rehash here. We're trying to answer the question of how do I find out if I have a good business idea is to figure out who that customer is and then go to them. We haven't even got to that point, right? So
right. You
found out exactly who that customer is, the drinking cup or, a cup analysis. Who is that customer? It's not everybody because everybody, you're going to get lost. You don't have a good idea probably. If you're just marketing it to everyone, and like you said, even sitting on the pitch stuff that I've sat in on, no savvy investor or even semi intelligent investor is going to grab onto your stuff if you don't have the ability to define. I think of the popular TV show Shark Tank, right? If you don't have a good understanding of who your customer is and why they're buying that product, no one's going to grab onto that. No one will invest in that person. So that's kind of where we're going at here is figuring out who your customer is and then figuring out what that market is and doing some research on the market.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to get too detailed because, both of us have seen people that overanalyze and they're spending months and months doing what we're talking about. And that's not necessarily because here's the one thing I have discovered. And it's probably an obvious statement, but it took me a little discovery to get to it, is no matter how much time you spend on your business plan, 1 week or 1 year, it's wrong. Guaranteed, it's wrong. Your projections are wrong. Your estimate of who your customer is wrong. It's all wrong. Because once you start selling product and it starts moving, you get some of the clarity that we would like to have had in the beginning, but you can't. It's almost impossible to get clarity until you start moving. It's kind of like it's easier to steer the ship once it's moving. And I don't mean you're totally throwing your business away, but you begin to adjust your market to understand what it is. For instance, on my podcast, and you, I think you may have alluded to this, is I've done stuff about careers, about helping people get promoted careers, helping people be successful in their careers, helping people start businesses. And, you know, all these things are things people ask me about on my podcast and my blog and when I'm in person. But when I started asking questions of my customers, of the people who are listeners, they were got laser focused on me and said, we want to have a career of our own. We want to start our own company. I probably could have surveyed them to death, but for beginners, there was no them in the beginning, right? So it's like me surveying my mom and my sister and my, you know, my friends and trying to make a good guesstimate of what I wanted. But once you start moving, you do get clarity. But that you just have to make sure you're moving in a direction that the pie is big enough. You know, again, developing a product when there's only, you know, 349 people out there who are going to buy it, or where the price point is $1, you know, that, and I mean, again, you just have to put the math there, and maybe this is academic and maybe not, but say if I sold 349 every year at $1,000, what am I going to make? You know, and what's the size of the market? I mean, this is the way we usually do it. It's just, what's the size of the potential market? Okay, let's say there's 3 million people. What percentage of that market do you think you can hit? And most people will tell me about 50%. Well, they're lying. They're idiots. You're never going to hit 50% in your first year. You might hit 0.1%. So we're looking at, that's the kind of levels you're looking at. Is the market big enough? So if you just get a little bitty sliver of it and you sell it at X amount of dollars, and you say, so you just do the math here, and how much are you going to make a year? Is that number interesting to you? And that's the way I always say it, because, you know, Anthony, you may look at a number and say, you know, $1 million a year, I'm just bored with that. And I may look at that and jump up and down and say, this is awesome. Because it is personal at that point. Is the number interesting to me?
And that right there actually gets into, I think, the psychology, or less than the psychology, your personal definition of success as you move forward, right?
Oh, absolutely. When you talk
about the finance side.
I think most people will tell you, and it's really odd that people say this, you know, money's not my, you know, once they find their why, money's not my biggest goal. But if you don't have enough flowing, it's pretty hard to keep the motivation to keep doing it.
Absolutely. And money actually allows you to accomplish your why in most cases anyways.
And it allows you to serve your market much better. You know, and the classic case I always like to look at is, you know, Dave Ramsey, and which is a great example for those of you familiar with him. If you look at the market, the number of people that might need financial help, well, that's, you can do math. You can find numbers on that. But then look at how he did it. He could go off into churches and do this volunteer. And, you know, so he could solve his passion and with his skill and hit the market in that way, as say, I'm going to charge $6 for a class. Or what you're saying is, I can develop a product and a service and market it in a different way to create. He's doing the same thing, but creating a different market. So he did his math a little different. And he realized, wow, I can make $1 bazillion. And by making $1 bazillion, I can serve a bazillion more people.
Yeah, and actually, I have a little bit of insight onto the Dave Ramsey side. And Dave himself says, hey, I'm barely scratching the surface. And the only reason that he can say that, you know, he's on like 300 or so plus radio stations.
Yeah.
The only reason he can say that is because he's done the correct analysis on the front end. And he's also, one of the things I want to hit here or kind of bring back in is, he's also brought in other people to say, what are the possibilities? How can I make this happen?
Yeah.
Where are the different, where is, you know, I'm selling to, you know, your example was churches, you know, $6 a pop at churches. What's a different way to do this? And that right there, that's one of the great things, and one of the things I'm extremely excited about for the Entrepreneur Dream Academy is helping be that light or helping be that insight, right? We, you and I and the other individuals participating in this program are going to be able to help each other see those things. Hey, here is a great idea to take that, and we'll go back to your example, that 300 customers at $1,000 a piece, right? The PDF station thing, say, what's a new way that you can do that? What's a different way that you can do that? And that goes back into determining, is it a good business idea or isn't? Is there other avenues that can make it a good business idea? Because right now it's not.
You know, and that you just said, there's such fun. I mean, it's fun for everybody. It's obviously fun for the person who has the idea, who gets clarity and sees that they got a bigger market, a better potential. But when you're in there and whenever we've done coaching and we help people realize, well, you could do it that way, but let's think about these three other options, and just light bulbs go. And it's not that we're smarter than them. It's just that we may have more experience, but you just get different perspectives. And when you get a group of people and you get different perspectives, your ideas move from struggling and moving at a snail's pace to moving it like a cheetah. And it's not that you spent more money on it. It's not that you got smarter, or you got a better education, or you bought a better tool. It's that just you got more of a mastermind concept behind you. And you got smart people that may not know anything about selling cups, you know, in our case, or selling software to PBS, but they throw out crazy ideas and you're like, ding, you know, the light bulbs go off and you're like, wow, wait a minute. I'm totally blinded about how big the market really is, how much I could really make, how I could pull this off faster. Man, that's where the excitement comes. I can't even doing everything I do, Anthony, if I try to sit here in my own little office, in my own little brain, and try to come up with this stuff, I end up nowhere. I end up frustrated. I mean, and I should know better. But when I go out and I get on the phone and I talk to you or I talk to other people and I think things through, and especially with a group where we're focused on this, pow, I get it, the momentum just goes to the roof.
Yeah, and that one of the things that I, you know, I live by, and I will be completely transparent, it's not something I always live by, but I believe we're meant to live in community. And it is amazing how when we allow ourselves to be in community with people, and we allow ourselves to be open and say, this is what I'm struggling with, this is what I can't get through. You know, you brought up the concept of mastermind, right? That's really what we're talking about here, is developing a group that's going to help each other.
Exactly. We're just a mastermind focused on a particular subject. That's absolutely, which has just been a blast. It took me forever to discover mastermind groups, to get in there and ask people opinions and you said a key word where I struggle with is to be transparent and say, I'm struggling with this.
Yeah, and that is another comment. I mean, we could go on that one for a long time because we want to be the best, right? Or we want to be, you know, looked up to, or we want to be even this word, and I use it already, but even the word success, we want to be perceived as successful. And in order to do so, we put on a shield. And when we put on that shield, what we're doing is we're covering ourselves up to not receive the correct benefit. And that's actually probably too wishy-washy. Let me rephrase that. We are covering ourselves up not to receive the correct insight and the correct criticisms that's going to allow us to say, this is a good idea. No, that's not a good idea, because we're not putting all of our chips on the table. We're not getting out there and giving it to each other. So
you know, and Anthony, you bring up a good point. Here's a thing that I run into all the time that's related to this. It's the other side of that I think maybe people need to think through too, is many people will come to us, and they'll come to me with non-disclosure agreements, which, you know, saying legalese, you know, I'm protecting my intellectual property and stuff. And a lot of people are scared to talk about their ideas in public because they think that you and I are going to steal them, or somebody in the group's going to steal them. You know, we're going to invent something. And I just, the number of times I run into that argument, and that it does happen, and it can happen. But as many, and I'm in a technology world. You know, that's the world I live in, is engineering, technology stuff. I have found those people who will steal your ideas, they can't implement them. You don't have to be worried about that, because the people who can get things done, they have more ideas than they know what to do with. They're giving them away. You know, I was in a meeting just the other day, and we had all these technology things, and the group was saying, and they're a very innovative company, and they were like, we got more than we can handle. We got more ideas here than we know what to do with. Can you guys take them and run with them? And they were very sharing with their ideas. So a lot of times people are closed off, you know, because they think my idea is genius and I don't want anybody to steal it. And that actually gets you nowhere.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And actually, from my experience, I'll take it to a different area. You know, I talk to some of the top entrepreneurs all over the world all the time. I have the privilege of interviewing them. The conversations I'm allowed or that I have either on mic or even more importantly off mic is amazing to me how many ideas they will give away. That tells me something. That tells me that they're saying, hey, go try this. You should try. I was thinking about this, but I'm not going to do it. Why don't you do this? You should try this. Yeah.
The just once you get in this mindset, and that's even great if you start a company, right? You know, people, let's say they come in, they become part of our academy, they get in our mastermind group, and they start something, they realize, well, I don't really want to do that. And that may happen to some. You know, I've had that happen to some before. But what happens is that gave them the energy, the momentum, the know-how, and then later on, they're doing something different. Because you know, once you get your mind rolling and you understand markets, you become aware. It's like you've opened your eyes and the scales come off. And that's what we're talking about, helping you pull the scales off so you begin to see opportunities. The idea that you bring to us first may be wonderful, but it may not be your best idea. But once you start to do it, you can't stop it. And yeah, that's why all these entrepreneurs are sitting there saying, you know, we got 700 things to give you, because I got 700 more over here I'm really working on, and practically speaking, I can't pull those off.
You know what? I think that the analogy of pulling the scales off is a great analogy, and I would even go further to say I would be willing to bet most of the time your first idea is not your best idea. And I think that's the greatest part about what you said is you used it personal. You used a personal pronoun, adjective, noun, whatever it is. Because we have that capability within us. You know, if you're sitting there saying, I have this great idea. I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure what to do next. I bet you have a whole bunch more great ideas inside you that we can grab, we can get out, we can see what's the best one. What has the best market potential? Which one is actually truly a good business idea?
And you know, you just don't know the number of times, and maybe you do, but the number of times I've been having conversations with people who have approached me about ideas, they want non-disclosure, they get mad because I won't sign them, and we go on talking, and they'll usually go tell me their idea anyway. And in the conversation, it usually doesn't take that long, they end up revealing something that's to them obvious. To them, it's not even an idea. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, stop. That is awesome. That is, you know, you're tripping all over your idea. I mean, a friend of mine started Book Proposal Academy, Chad Allen, and he's with a big book publisher, and he was talking about, he was trying to develop this course, and he was telling us about it. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you mean you can help people write a book proposal? You're a publisher who's been looking at book proposals and evaluating them for years, and you have all this expertise. You can teach me how to do that? That's awesome. Why are you skipping over that? And because of that, you know, and because we've encouraged him in that, he realized the idea that he thought was obvious. And that's what most people do, is they think, they're way over here thinking, but their obvious ideas inside, they don't see their obvious idea. And it takes people like me and you, maybe we're just dumb enough in their market to say, whoa, that's awesome. Why can't you do that? Why can't you solve this problem? Because we're blinded by our own genius.
Yeah, we're blinded by our own genius. We should definitely have that one put on a t-shirt. I have a similar example. I have a friend who was kind of going through some things, and he was saying, here's this idea and this idea over here. And it was a broadcasting thing, which I can't really totally disclose yet because it's not public, but it will be soon. And he said, we said, wait a minute, your expertise lies right here, and there is a need for it because everyone sitting in this room wants it. So you should produce it. And it totally missed over his head. It's kind of that concept of your buddy with the book academy, right? How do you write to the two publishers? How do you make that happen? That's an asset that you can use. So Dale, we've kind of been talking about this for a while now, about at the end of our time for today, but real quick, just rehash for us, you know, what are we getting ready to get into with the Entrepreneur Dream Academy? What can we expect if we want to actually get into it and grab onto this product and learn more from you and myself?
You can expect, number one, you'll be part of the conversation. You won't be just listening to Anthony. Now, you'll be probably the dominant part of the conversation for a lot. You'll be communicating with other people like yourself. And that sounds trivial. You know, that may sound like, well, that sounds boring. No, that's the awesome power. I mean, once it gets started, Anthony and I will just have to shut up and just let you guys take over, because that's the sheer power. I mean, we're basically going to be guiding the ship, but everybody else is running, you know, the crew doing everything, because you'll be feeding off of each other. What you're going to get is you're going to get massive clarity. You're going to get more ideas about what you thought. You know, you're going to walk in with maybe no ideas or maybe two ideas, and you're going to end up with tons of ideas of what kind of businesses that fit you. You're going to even get clarity. Now, this sounds a little crazy. You're going to get clarity on you. You're going to get clarity on what you really care about. Not because Anthony and I are geniuses, but because you're going to be talking to people. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be, you'll learn to be a little bit more transparent. Some of you may be there already, but you're going to get clarity on what matters to you and what kind of business fits you. And from that, yeah, we could talk about this for hours, but from that, once you start to get clarity, all these things start, you know, it's kind of like, you know, now you figure out how to stack the blocks. Now you understand what order they go in, and now you start to see that block goes next and that block goes next, and here's what to do. You're going to get this opportunity to do an opportunity analysis, as we would call it, you know, to look at the numbers, to figure out how big your business is. We're going to help you figure out who your customers are, who you're serving, how many are there. We're going to go through all this and plus more. I mean, by the time we're done, we want you to be moving and hopefully moving with profit, depending on what kind of business you're starting.
Yeah, so if this interests you, if you're excited about the possibility of living a life that you love and really living actually on purpose and living where your, you know, we talked about these passions and skills and then market, all where they intersect. You head over to the websites, check it out. Our tentative deadline, if I'm not mistaken, Dale, is September 15th.
September 15th, that's
September
right.
September 15th. There are limited spaces. This is not a big program. This is designed small actually on purpose, specifically because that's who we're looking for. We're looking to add value to every single individual that's a part of this program. So I'm excited. Dale, do you have anything else to say as we get ready to close up shop for the day?
No, I'm just to say that I am excited about doing it, and trust me, like you said, this getting in the small group, it's awesome. I just tell you that this is probably what's going to happen. Just, you know, logically speaking, I know how these things operate, and Anthony and I have done it before. Is we'll start small, and the next time there will be double the number of people. You know, so we'll probably do it again, and it will be bigger. And so this will be the closest you can get to be some really tangible, hands-on things where we got a lot of time focusing on you. So I like to get on the ground floor. I don't know about you, Anthony. I like to do things kind of as they kick off, and that lets me help shape them, and it lets me be fed more from what's going on.
Absolutely, and that's actually why I'm so excited about this, because I'm happy. Happy's not the right word, right? I'm pumped up, man. I'm just pumped up to really dive in and really get. I'm excited to meet people and see how they can change my perspective, because that will happen as well. So get out there and take an action step today. Action does not equal accomplishment, but we need that in order to become accomplished, in order to live out our why. So get out there and take an action step today.